general aviation's downward trend continues. The move to withhold funding for the F-35 JSF is soundly defeated, and search and recovery efforts are now underway in Indonesia. This is Aero News for Friday, May the 11th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association released the industry's first quarter performance statistics for 2012, and the news is not good. The downward trend has continued. Total worldwide GA airplane shipments fell 2.1%, while billings were down 8% for the first quarter of this year. The one bright spot in the report was turboprop sales that saw a 3.3% increase, measured, however, by just the difference in two units, from 61 in 2011 to 63 in 2012. Gamma's president and CEO Pete Bunce noted, quote, "One continuing concern is the lack of available financing around the world. An important step forward would be for the U.S. Congress to quickly reauthorize the Export-Import Bank. The lending authority of the bank spurs sales, which are essential to revitalizing the manufacturing sector. The House passed their version of the legislation Wednesday, and we urge the Senate to quickly follow suit," end quote. Well, the gambler once sang, "You gotta know when to hold 'em and know when to fold 'em." And Congressman Todd Akin, Republican from Missouri, learned that lesson this week in the House Armed Services Committee. In a budget markup session, he offered an amendment to an appropriations bill to withhold half of the procurement funds for the F-35 JSF until the Pentagon committed to a guaranteed operational date. His amendment, to use the military slang, went down in flames, as every other member of the committee voted against it. Instead, those no votes turned to yes votes for an amendment offered by Democrat Adam Smith of Washington State, who said withholding procurement funding would send a bad message to foreign governments who are partners in the project. The F-35 JSF project, at $1.5 trillion, is the most expensive in DOD history and has repeatedly faced cost overruns and broken schedules. Rescue teams have found the wreckage of the Sukhoi Superjet that went missing in Indonesia Wednesday after radar contact was lost. All 45 aboard the aircraft are feared dead. Due to the remoteness of the accident site and the rugged terrain, helicopters will be used to remove the bodies hoisted in nets. Evacuations, however, have been delayed until today because of a heavy mist that has been constant in the area. The jet was carrying representatives from local airlines and journalists on a 50-minute demonstration flight. 21 minutes after departing the airfield, the pilot asked ATC for permission to descend from 10,000 to 6,000 feet, giving no explanation. The aircraft disappeared from radar immediately afterwards. It is still not clear why the crew asked for that course diversion, especially considering their proximity to a 7,000-foot volcano. The Sukhoi Superjet was in Indonesia as part of a six-country tour of Asia intended to generate interest in the aircraft. The Superjet has been widely considered Russia's chance to regain a foothold in the international passenger plane market. Industry trade organization Airlines for America, A4A, says passengers can expect full flights this summer, thanks in part to a record number of people traveling internationally and an improving economy. The good news for travelers is that airfares have not kept pace with inflation, keeping air travel a relative bargain. In its annual summer forecast, A4A today predicted that from June through August, U.S. airlines will carry an average of 2.24 million travelers globally every day. Total passenger volumes remain 5% below the summer of 2007, when an all-time high was set at 217.6 million. The good news for travelers is that airfares have not kept pace with the inflation rate, which rose 31% since 2000. Over the same period, average domestic airfares, per the Department of Transportation, rose just 9%, or 15% including optional ancillary services, otherwise known as baggage fees, etc. Less than half the rate, by the way, of the U.S. inflation. Adjusted for inflation, average domestic airfares actually fell 16% over the period, or 12% including those ancillary services. Of course, try explaining that to passengers who are paying $300 for a ticket today that cost well under $200 back in 2000. It seems that with each passing day, we are moving closer to the dawn of a commercial space program as companies like SpaceX, Boeing, X-Corps, and others race to build commercially viable spacecraft. The latest news on that front comes from ATK, announcing that it has developed its Liberty concept into a complete commercial crew transportation system, including the spacecraft, abort system, launch vehicle, and ground and mission operations, designed from inception to meet NASA's human rating requirements, with a potential for the first test flight in 2014 and Liberty crewed flights in 2015. If successful, the current schedule will support crewed missions for NASA and other potential customers by 2016, with a price per seat that is projected to be lower than the current cost of the Russian Soyuz rocket. Randy Babbitt's DUI charge is dismissed. Reno air races must follow NTSB recommendations. And slimming down, weight loss is not just for flight attendants any longer. Details on those stories and more when Aero News continues.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back and continuing now with Aero News for Friday, May the 11th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The DUI charges, which led to the resignation of former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, have been dropped by a Fairfax City, Virginia judge. Babbitt had been observed allegedly driving on the wrong side of the road, which led to the traffic stop last year. But the Associated Press reports the judge determined that video of the stop showed that Babbitt was actually turning into a parking lot, not driving against traffic. Babbitt had initially been placed on administrative leave from the agency, but tendered his resignation to DOT Secretary Ray LaHood. At the time, the agency was promoting a major driving safe campaign. For the record, Babbitt had tested just below the legal limit for a DUI on the first breath test, and police are not permitted to continue testing looking for different results. Prosecutors reportedly protested the judge's decision, saying the officer had a legitimate reason to pull Babbitt over because of the way the turn was executed and that he failed to use a turn signal. Babbitt was replaced at the FAA by longtime bureaucrat Michael Huerta, who was nominated to the post of director in March of this year, but has not yet been confirmed by the Senate. The National Air Races Advisory Committee for the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority is recommending approval of a one-year permit that requires the Racing Association to pay for any increased insurance premiums and follow any new safety advice from federal regulators after last fall's deadly crash. The National Transportation Safety Board is continuing to investigate the September 16th crash that killed 11 and seriously injured 70 others. The committee forwarded its recommendation to the full board on Thursday. It requires the Reno Air Racing Association to follow any recommendations from NTSB resulting from its probe. Any exceptions would require NTSB approval. Panel Chairman Jerry Hall said he preferred a one-year permit instead of five because the investigation continues. Air Race Director Mike Houghton says he's confident they can meet NTSB's demands. The Canadian Skyhawks parachute team, the official skydiving team of Canadian Forces, will make its first appearance at EAA's AirVenture in Oshkosh in 2012, with performances during the daily afternoon air show. Now in their 41st season, they'll be showcasing their skills through a variety of unique aerial maneuvers, formations, and other feats beneath their unique Canadian flag parachute canopies. Long before Chesley Sully Sullenberger became a household name, it was the name of Denny Fitch that was whispered reverently in aviation circles. A United Airlines pilot and instructor, Fitch was deadheading home on a DC-10 in 1989, when an explosion in the back of the plane got his attention. He made his way to the flight deck to see if the crew needed help. There he found three men desperately trying to control the wide-body jet after losing all hydraulic power. Fitch took a seat on the floor and helped operate the wing engines to try to land the aircraft, carrying nearly 300 people. When the crippled plane crash-landed in Sioux City, Iowa, more than half of the passengers survived, making it one of the most admired life-saving efforts in aviation history. The Associated Press reports that Fitch, age 69, passed away this week at his home in a South Chicago suburb after a battle with brain cancer. The teamwork of that air crew is still taught to students to this day. Godspeed, Captain Fitch. You know, it was just a few weeks ago that Ryanair made headlines by asking its flight attendants to shed a few pounds to help save fuel cost. Well, now a group of scientists say America's expanding waistlines poses a real safety concern. Scientists that study aviation accidents say that overweight passengers can, quote, blast through, unquote, seat belts in a plane crash due to outdated safety standards. The New York Times reports that aircraft engineers are still designing seats for passengers weighing in at 170 pounds, in line with international standards. This is concerning to U.S. experts, however, where the average American male is now 194 pounds and the female 165 pounds. Robert Salzar, principal scientist at the University of Virginia Center for Applied Biomechanics, told the Times that airline seats were not likely to behave as expected during a crash if a heavier person completely fills a seat. He said, quote, "The energy absorption built into this aircraft seat is likely to be overwhelmed and the occupants will not be protected optimally," end quote. He also added seatbelts needed more testing, saying, quote, "You'd be amazed at how the large person blasts through that restraint," end quote. The scientists warn also that plus-size passengers could also injure those sitting near them if seats collapse or seatbelts fail. The answer, they say, is to test with more weight. Of course, some airlines require their plus-sized passengers to buy two seats, so perhaps the simple solution is then to have them wear two seatbelts. Meanwhile, when it comes to meal service on your next flight, don't be surprised if the flight attendant asks not only if you prefer beef or chicken, but if you'll be having the Jenny Craig, Atkins, Weight Watchers, or South Beach meal. Well, that's it for this edition of Aero News. Have a great weekend, everyone, and do the flying public a favor. Skip the pizza. Have a salad instead. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.